This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.B. Hilliard.
Here's our last session for today, and I want you to turn with me your Bibles to Habakkuk 2:2 and Luke 14. Habakkuk 2:2 and Luke 14. And this last session, we'll talk about spiritual strategies for winning against the odds. That I understand that my strategy that I'm going to develop is going to have a spiritual anchor, a spiritual foundation, because we are who we are in Christ. Amen. And so I'm not dependent on the natural. I'm going to deal with the natural, but I'm dependent on the spiritual. And so, you know, we just closed out with dealing with negotiations because that's the natural part. As you go to the negotiating table with natural skills, believing for the favor of God. Favor is the willingness of others to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. So when I go to the negotiation table, my advantage, my leverage is that I have the favor of God. And you may not know why you're giving me the best deal, but I know. I know that the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He can turn it any way he wants to. And when I go to the negotiating table, I am depending on God to work for me. Amen. Now that's the balance. So I'm not going there to try to trick somebody. And there have been situations where I would not let the guy give me a price he wanted to give me. We knew it in one situation. It was not too long ago. Me and Brother Larry was dealing with a guy, and we knew he was in a desperate situation, and he wanted one price to get the job. I say, Larry, he can't make it doing it at that price. He's going to hurt himself. Let's not let him hurt himself. Well, he's a partner. I want him long term. Well, if I get the deal and he has to hurt himself trying to get the deal and make the deal, number one, he wasn't going to be able to do it at that and make money, then what's going to happen? He's not going to be a long term partner. So my integrity wouldn't let me cut the deal at the way he wanted. He just wanted to get his foot in the door. I wanted a long-term partnership. Do you understand the balance there? So we're not teaching you how to manipulate. We're not teaching you how to trick people. We're teaching you how to come to a mutually beneficial arrangement. And when you do that, your integrity as a believer is at stake. Amen, amen. You all understand the balance to it, don't you? All right, now, we must develop strategies. Now, the story of Gideon and his battle with the Midianites is our foundational story. And, of course, I went back and looked up in Judges 8 and 10, and the real number of his opponents was 135,000. I said 132,000, but it was 135,000. You know, give or take 3,000 or so, you know, 135,000. But he had a good strategy. And the strategy that God gave him was a strategy that most people wouldn't use. Because he did not even take them to battle with swords. They had no swords. He had 300 men, and what they did was they surrounded the camp of the Midianites, and he gave each man a pitcher, a lamp or a torch, and a trumpet. And what they were supposed to do at a certain time when he led the way, they were going to break that pitcher, which would expose the torch. Raise the torch up high, this is in the middle of the night, and then blow the trumpet and shout, the sword of God and the sword of Gideon. And he depended on the shock factor. And the enemies were so shocked, waking up in the middle of the night, seeing all this light, you understand? Because they had already talked among them that the sword of Gideon was gonna cut them off. They were already in fear. They took advantage of that, and when they began to scream and shout and blow the trumpet, they began to run, a massive number of people trampling each other, turning their swords on each other, and they won. When God gives you a spiritual plan of action, you can count on it working. Yeah. Amen. But that means every spiritual plan in the Word of God will work. For instance, if you can't do the simple stuff that's there, then how are you going to believe for God to give you some supernatural plan? The Word of God tells me that I'm supposed to be a tither and a giver if I want quality of life. Amen. Amen. Now, here you are still struggling with that, but then you want God to give you some supernatural plan like he gave Gideon. You can forget it. Amen. Let's do what's already written. Amen. Then we can expect the super spiritual, the supernatural. Amen. Hallelujah. Looked at me strange and funny, but that's quite all right. I know I'm right. Habakkuk 2:2. Are you there? Now, last night, I had you all to get the homework you had was to go and write some goals down. I trust that many of you did it. Five things that you want to accomplish this year. But I want you to know just writing those down is not going to help you accomplish it. You got to do more than write them down, and we're going to talk about how to develop a spiritual strategy. All right, verse 2 says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables. Underline, make it plain. And when you look at that, it's talking about making it distinct, adding details to it, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. The Bible teaches us if we're going to make progress, that there's some planning involved. So we know that, so we're not going to ignore that. Not going to ignore that. I'm not going to walk around in la-la land and think that God's going to send an angel down. You follow me to cook your food in the morning, you know, to go to the grocery store for you. You're going to go to the grocery store. You're going to go to the job yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, verse 28, it says, for which of you in building the tower sitteth not down first, count the cost, or whether he may have sufficient to finish it. All of this in this verse from verse 28 on through is talking about developing a strategy. And you have to develop a strategy. It has to be a written strategy. Now, what amazes me is, even though people hear this, very few people do it. At the beginning of every year, really at the end of the prior year, the previous year, I sit down and I write down the goals that I want to accomplish in my life, goals that I want to accomplish for our ministry. And that is why we have our Vision Builders campaign, because it's about following the scripture, writing it down, making it plain, setting goals before us, developing strategies to reach the goal. That's how you make progress. You'll do it as a family, you'll do it in your business, you'll do it in your career, if you will be disciplined enough just to do this. Now, last night was the starting point, but that's not the ending point, because you have to have a goal. That's what you wrote down last night, your dreams. But next to the goal, you have to have a game plan. Write that word down, a game plan. A game plan is how, in detailed fashion, with as much as you understand, how are you going to accomplish those five things. And one thing to do is, you don't need some fancy planner. You know, just put one of those at the top of a piece of paper. And then you sit there and you think about, how would I best go about accomplishing these? With the information you have. You haven't done all your homework and your research yet, but just with what you know, how would you go about accomplishing it? The next step in formulating the game plan is, now we do our research. We go and begin to read. And I got to tell you, with the internet, it is just awesome, the information that you can pull up. And you should become proficient with the computer. Amen. And of course, we're going to work to help all of our members become proficient with the computers this year, because this is a computer age we live in, and everybody can do it. But I want to do my research with the computer, or research with people who are doing what I want to do. It's called the educational process. Education doesn't stop in the classroom. You ought to be committed to lifelong learning, lifelong education. In other words, whatever endeavor you need to embark upon, you want to know as much as you can know about it. So you want to talk to people who've done it. You want to talk to people, you know, who may know somebody that can connect you with the people you know. You follow me? But that's vitally important, that I get more information, because then I will begin to fine-tune my game plan. I'm going to fine-tune it, because as I develop my game plan through my research, through my talking with other people, through my education, then the picture is going to become clearer to me, what resources I need and what people I need to make it happen. Amen. It's going to become much clearer. What are the resources that I need? Because my partners and my provisions are going to be based on my game plan. All right? So I have my goal. I have my, come on class, my game plan. And it's all written down. See, it's not just something I'm trying to carry around in my head. So I want to write it down. Go buy your steno pad if you need to. Go buy something that you can keep this, and this becomes your vision book. And right on the top, right on the front of it, vision book. You follow me? Make it special for you. And if you're believing for a house, go get a picture of that house and put it on the page there. If you're believing for a car, go get it, put it there. If you're believing for tuition, go get a brochure from that college that you want to send your child to, or you want to go to, and put that in there. That's your vision book. Amen, amen, amen. See, this is the work that's involved in being successful. This is what separates the men from the boys. This is where the work comes in at. This is what most people don't want to do. Because we want our success to be somebody else's responsibility. We want somebody to just lay hands on us. We fall on the floor, get up, and wow, go out there as a Cadillac. Go, praise the Lord. No, it don't work like that. That's not how it works. Amen. We want to just write for somebody and get their prayer cloth. Amen. Their success rag. Amen. And then believe we're going to go to the mailbox and find some money. We'd rather believe that hocus pocus than to believe the Bible. Now, I have nothing against prayer claws, but I know people take them and use them as games against God's folk because they don't study the Bible. Hallelujah. Look, if you want to use your prayer rag, then do what you mean. Your get luck cloth, your get luck rag, then do that. Prayer cloths are in the Bible. Good luck rags ain't. What I'm saying is, if you're going to be successful, you got to work for it. And to the degree you're willing to put forth effort, amen. And there's so many ways to tap into it, into success. So many ways to tap into the resources. Quit thinking pie mentality. Everybody say pie mentality. Pie mentality means that there's only so much, and every time somebody else gets some, there's less for you. God told me to start thinking river mentality. That resources flow through the land like a river, and everybody has their field along the river of resources. And he who best knows how to irrigate, how to tap into the river, is the one who's going to get the sufficient resources that they need to grow their crops and harvest. Amen, amen. All right, now, turn with me your Bibles. We have goal, we have game plan, and then we have group. Everybody say my group. My group of the people that I need, the group of resources, the group of individuals that will help me carry out my plan, and then my government is managing along the way, making sure that the game plan is working, making sure that I have the people that I need, making sure that everything is working according to plan. If not, I am willing to revise my plan. We have to have fruit-bearing faith. Now, a lot of people don't have fruit-bearing faith. They just have religious faith where they talk about it. But fruit-bearing faith is the faith that goes into action. And as I close this session today, what I want to stress most of all is that you have wasted your time these 2 days if all you do is just get the tapes and listen to them and don't put a plan of action together and then work the plan. Regardless of how small the objective may be, if you practice this discipline at this stage, when it gets to the larger stage, it'll be second nature to you. Now, we have a pastor's conference every year, and every year our pastor's conference grows. Of course, the one in October is growing by leaps and bounds, but the one in February has just exploded. I think last year we had like 600 pastors. They told me right now, and we just had to close registration. We have like 800 and like 87 pastors coming. And listen, I tell them, really, some of them come all the time, I tell them the same thing. But really, few of them actually do it. See, they think, a lot of them, especially those with smaller churches, they think, well, he does all that planning because he big. But what they fail to understand is I started this process with the 23. Because this is a process that the Bible ordains, that I have to write the vision. I have to take the time. And it takes me a while to get it all together. It takes me a while to itemize everything I want to do. In fact, I can tell you pretty much the lessons that I'm going to teach this year. Now, I haven't developed them all, but the Spirit of God let me know. In fact, I gave one of my workup sheets to one of my children, let them look at it. And they went, wow, they're looking at all the things I was going to preach about. They go, oh, yeah, this is good, this is good, this is good. But see, I know where I'm going. Now, does that mean God can speak? God can't speak anything else to me? And I go to God, oh, you didn't put this on the list. I ain't going to walk it. No. God can interrupt my plan anytime he wants to. You understand? It's not a problem. But I do know pretty much where I'm going. So my whole life is organized. So y'all understand this? My whole life is organized and I'm focused. And staying focused, being ready to fight with the absence of fear brings supernatural results. Now, when the Katrina thing hit Houston and we would start doing other things and that sort of thing, the Spirit of God spoke to me because things we were doing were good. But for me, I had to get back focused because I was running around from meeting to meeting and meeting to meeting. And the Spirit of God says, stay focused. Because what I had done is I had lost my focus on my assignment and I was doing that which I thought was expedient. And what I had to do was assign the expedient to other people so I could stay focused. Amen. Are you listening to me? The whole purpose of you putting together this vision book, this vision tablet, is so that you can stay focused. You got it? Because it's something you're going to keep with you. It's something you're going to look at every day. You're going to keep it before your eyes every day. What did I say? You're going to keep it for your eyes every day. I don't care if it's just a casual glancing through it. I want you to be trained to look at it often. Because there's power in that. There's a spiritual principle by what you keep before your eyes. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. My son, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Everybody say, he's talking principle now. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now here, of course, it is talking about the word of God, but there's a reason why he wants you to keep the word in your, before your eyes. Because what I see affects me. So no, you may not have money for the house, but that's okay. What you establish as important to you helps your physical makeup, your mental, your soulish makeup spot the resources that are already around you that you cannot recognize now. Oh, I'll say it again. Have you ever decided, let me show you how God engineered, we're talking about engineering now, how God engineered you. Have you ever decided you wanted a particular type of car? Right. And once you establish that, then you start seeing that car everywhere. That's because you have been wired, you've been engineered by God, that once you establish something is important to you, then you've been engineered to spot everything that's associated with that in the arena around you. Amen. So this vision book that you're going to put together is critical. It's important because you're working a spiritual principle on the inside. Amen, amen. This building we're in, we use that process. When we first started believing for the building, I had pictures of it and I gave it to all the members. You got it? And then personally, I looked at the picture every day for 9 years. Glory to God. Because I kept it around me. Amen, amen. And it works. It works. It works. It helps me believe. Go to Genesis. Amen, amen. Genesis, I gotta convince you on this. And this is not even on the notes here. This is way off on the notes, but that's quite all right. If you can get this, we can help you here. See, because we're working with the supernatural. All right, watch this. Verse 3. Well, Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Come on, hurry, because I want to give you some time, because I took a lot of time from the last session, so I really want to close this real quick. All right, it says, after these things. Everybody say, after these things. After these things. Now, most people don't look at the after these things, and they want to go to the rest of it, but what were these things? He sowed a seed. And understand, I'm not taking up an offering, so please don't think I'm going to try to set you up. But it's Abraham had just sowed a significant seed into the life of Melchizedek the king. He'd given his tithe. And after these things, he goes to God, and God gives him wisdom. Now, see, I got to understand the connection between my seed and supernatural wisdom and insight, because there is a connection that I have to make a demand on. And he says, "And the word, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" Underline that, seeing I go childless. He saw himself without. All right. And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." In other words, the one that's going to be born. Abram's old now. He can't understand how he's going to have all this. He said, but the one that's going to be born from you, that's the one that the heir to the promise. And he brought him forth. Now look at this process. Everybody say process. And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." Since Abram could not understand multitude, then God had to use something so that he could associate multitude with. So God took him to the stars and said, "Look out on a starry night, count the stars. Imagine a face of a child on every star, so shall thy seed be." What is he doing? He's putting something before his eyes. Because all Abraham can see himself now is childless. And once he does this, look at the next verse. Verse 6. And he believed. Oh, no. You should shout on that. And he what?
Believed.
And he believed. This process caused him to believe. And if you will keep it before you, this same process that worked for Abram, that works for Hilliard, will work for you.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
What do you have to lose? How much does a steno pad cost? Go use your negotiating skills and see what you can do. The business that you want. Take a picture of it, of somebody who has a business like it, and keep it before you. Are you listening to me? Okay. All right. Now, what I have to be willing to do is I have to be willing to draft my plan, and then I got to be willing to declare my plan. I got to be willing to talk it, because I have what I say. Everybody say, I have what I say. All right, go to Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to let you go. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What he's saying is, look, what you declare to be lawful on the earth must be what has been declared lawful in heaven. But the thing about it is, I have to declare it. And when I start making faith statements, I am releasing my authority in the earth. When I make faith statements, when I begin to talk about it, and I begin to talk about the promises of God, then angels hear it. And the Bible says they hearken to the voice of his word. So the supernatural goes to work because angels go to work. Demon forces abound. They are hindered by the declarations of faith that I make. Amen. Now go to Romans chapter 15 and I'll wrap it up. Have you been blessed this week?
Amen.
So I'm going to take my plan. I'm going to write my plan down. I'm going to do my research. I'm going to revise my plan. In my research, I want to find somebody who's doing what I want to do. You got it? Now, I don't see him here today. I don't know if Banks is here. Johnny's here? Johnny Banks here? I don't see Johnny here. He's probably working. Anyway, Johnny Banks came to me years ago wanting to go into the furniture business. In fact, Johnny was getting ready to quit his job, go into the furniture business. He's going to quit his job. And he came to his man of God. And I said, how much about the furniture business you know? Well, he didn't know much at all. I said, well, that's the last thing you need to do is quit your job. But I'm not telling you to give up your dream. I'm just telling you to pursue your dream differently. So what you need to do now is go and volunteer to work at a furniture store. You go up front and tell the man what you're about and volunteer. You're going to volunteer and do anything he wants. You need to learn the business. And your volunteer, your investment as a volunteer at this man's business is going to be your education. And he found somebody who would partner with him in it. And he did. He volunteered, worked for nothing, worked for free, learned the business. And then one day he came and said, okay, Pastor, I'm ready to open my store. Well, he was ready then because he had invested the time in learning. And his business is most successful. It's called Furniture Time. You may see him on television sometime. You know, come on right after my program sometime. And he closes his thing with, darling. But he went about it the right way. Amen, amen. And so I say, it's going to be difficult for you now to work and volunteer, but that's the investment you're making so that you win against the odds. Hallelujah. All right, verse 4 says, and whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have what? Might have what? Might have hope. And for the next few moments, all I want to do is I'm going to just talk to you about some Bible stories. Stir your hope up. All right? Because you can win. You can win like Jabez if you have a positive prayer. Jabez went to the Lord with all the negatives in his life and said, Lord, I want you to bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. So look at the person next to you and say, I can win. With positive prayer. You can win like Jacob if you have a positive inheritance. Jacob was confident in the birthright that he had that would cause him to win. And you have an incredible birthright because you're an heir of the king. So you can win like Jacob. Number 3, you can win like Moses if you got a positive promise. And Moses' positive promise was, God says, and I will be with you. I'm sending you and I'll be with you. And Moses said to God, when they asked me who sent me, who shall I tell them? And he said, you tell them I am sent you. Now that's good enough. I am whatever you need when you need it. And you have I am with you. So you can make it because I am is with you. Look at the person next to you. I can win. Because I got a positive promise. You can win like the man at the pool who waited there 30 something years because he has a positive hope. Not like the man at the pool, even though everybody liked to throw rocks at the boy, because he had some habits that were good. He got up every morning and went. If you wanted to know where he was pursuing his hope every day. Amen, amen. And you can win if you hold on to your hope. Number what? Number 5, you can win like Joseph if you got a positive dream. With all of the things that happened, he held on to his dream and helped others with their dream. So you can win if you are a dream helper and you hold on to your dream. Number what? Number 6, you can win like David if you got a positive attitude. In the midst of a death-defying situation, the giant who'd never been beaten, all of the trained warriors were afraid of him. And he comes out and he cusses David out. And in the midst of all that, David said, you going down. Not you going down today. He kept a positive attitude. When his brothers criticizing his intent, he remained positive. You can win if you keep a positive attitude. You can win like Gideon if you have a positive team that will work together. Amen. And Gideon amassed these people from different who had once been counted out, but he saw victory in them. Almost like Nehemiah. Nehemiah did the same thing. He put a team together who had been despised, and he won because he had a team that was willing to work together. Now, your immediate team is your family. If you can just get your family to work together, husband and wife, the Bible says, if just two of you will agree as touching anything that you'll ask, he said it'll be done for you by the Father. You can win with a positive team. You can win like the widow with a positive seed. The widow who was facing a death situation. All of her resources were gone. Down to a last meal, the prophet comes by, give her a plan of action that involved a precious seed. Amen, amen. And because she was willing to part with her seed, she won against the odds. You can win against the odds like Abraham with a positive confession. You can win against the odds like Abraham with a positive confession. His name was at first Abram, and God changed it to Abraham simply because God had to teach him how to release his faith. If you'll change your mouth, you will see things change in your life. And so Abram began to call himself what God said about him. He began to call himself Abraham, which meant father of nations. And Sarai began to call herself Sarah, which meant mother of many. And they won because they changed their confession. Number 10, you can win like Paul and Silas if you have positive praise. That in the midst of a despairing situation, don't forget that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so in the midst of being negative, in the midst of, you know, could have felt forsaken, Paul and Silas praised God. Just like Jehoshaphat and his group. So you can win if you keep positive praise. Now the greatest thing about winning is enjoying the fruits of your faith. Amen. It's amazing, you know, I'm a fisherman, and of course people know I like fish. So they will go, I have pastors all over the country who catch fish and send it to me. They catch fish and they send it to me from all over the country. I got friends here who send me. So I always have fish. But when I go fishing myself, guess what fish I eat first? The one I caught. There's something about the one I caught. The meat seems to be sweeter. Because the memory of the effort enhances the taste. Amen, amen, amen. I know the meat looks the same. And I know I cook them the same, but it's something about the one I caught. Because I remember when he hit the line. And I remember how I had to get him out of the trees. And I remember when I saw him first, when he first broke the surface. Wow, this is my catch. My heart began to. I remember when I reached down and lifted him and brought him up and eye to eye with my. And now he's on my plate. Amen, amen. It's something about going to other folks' house and see the beauty that they have. But it's another thing when I walk into my house. I enjoy looking at other folks' churches, but it's something else when I walk in here and I look around at what the, it's something about winning. Amen, amen, amen. It's good to drive in other folks' cars and ride in their car, but it's another thing when I get into my car. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Huh? And it doesn't matter what it looks like to other folk. It's something you use your faith for. It's something you believe God for. It's something your faith brought into pass. And I'm out of time. Amen, amen. Did you get blessed today? Amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, sit down quickly and I'll make the appeal and then I'll let you go. I gave you some time back. Let's, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. The word falls on good ground, always produces fruit. Listen, you can have a better quality of life. That quality of life starts with a decision. Life is choice driven. God wrote the plan down in the word of God for us. And all we need to do is follow his plan. So today you say, Pastor, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I'm not right with God, but I want to be right with God. What must I do? I just want to pray for you right where you're seated, not going to embarrass you. I know many times these are believers' meetings, but we don't take anything for granted. God has an incredible plan for your life. And today you can start that walk with God. You say, Pastor, pray for him. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not taping it for television. And there in Austin and Beaumont, we're talking to you and the facilitator. When I'll come forward, would you slip your hand up? Say, Pastor, include me in prayer. I want to give my heart to God today. Not a Christian, but I want to be. Not right with God, but I want to be right with God. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know for sure. As you're praying for others, Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over the building while heads are bowed, eyes are closed?